Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now is the guy who just got back from grabbing an egg roll. I'm Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a very interesting Monday night edition of our Big Brother Canada recap to talk about everything that we got to see. A lot of new information about the double eviction. Plus, we got to see the HOH play out. And then we'll talk through nominations for Dylan and much more going on the live feeds with our crack panel. First, let me welcome back a man who can skim through podcasts at over three times the speed. The great host of the LFC Roundtable, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. I'm sorry I offended Rob because I said I skimmed through the Netta interview.
Hey, look, I mean, it's just a Netta exit interview. I mean, if anything is like, okay, let me put that on background noise while I'm doing something else. Netta exit interview is that. If you said I skimmed through the Emily exit interview, I wouldn't have batted an eye.
To the Emily interview.
Yeah.
I was just trying to get it in before the podcast. That's all it was. I'm going to re-listen to it after.
Okay.
Promise.
All right. And then here, back once again, the Karen to Taryn's Kevin.
Okay. All right. I can handle that. Yes.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I just want to tell you, guys, I didn't do anything. I'm like Netta. I didn't do anything. And she's right, girl. You didn't do anything.
Okay. So we'll talk through everything, including my conversation with Netta from earlier today as we go along here. Hashtag RHAP for those of you guys who want to get your questions into the show later on. So excited to hear what everybody has to say. But a very interesting point here in Big Brother Canada 5. Of course, we are within 1 month until we're going to be up in Toronto for our Big Brother Canada, first ever Big Brother Canada live show outside of Podcast House in New York City. So if you want to join us there, we're starting to lock in some people from the Big Brother Canada alumni. They've been talking with, I talked with Sarah Hanlon today. We're getting working on Mitch and Godfrey and John Party and a couple other Toronto people. So I think we'll have a pretty healthy Big Brother player turnout, Brent.
Sounds great. I can't wait to do it. I have only been to Canada one other time, and I got stopped at the border and searched, and all sorts of terrible things happened, and I lost all my money.
Oh my God.
Because I was at, well, I went to the casino, and I lost everything. I never won anything. So I have to imagine that this trip is going to be much better.
Okay. Well, it's a low baseline,
exactly.
Low expectations.
Low bar.
Yeah. All right. So if you want ticket information, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/Toronto BBCan. robhasawebsite.com/Toronto BBCan. The LFC will be there. Should be one great night. All right. So I want to start off a little bit with, my conversation with Netta, and I think that ties into this whole double eviction. I really haven't had the opportunity to talk about the events of the double eviction. I talked to Taryn on the phone on Friday, and I voiced to you, Taryn. I just want to get on the record, but I had said I did not like this move for Cindy coming out of this week, and we can get into more of that. But I just didn't understand what she was going for. But let me go back to Netta, and that was where this conversation should start today. So I spoke with Netta, and I was very concerned because she did seem so devastated during the live show. We got to see more of that tonight, where she started crying in the storage room to Bruno, and I thought she was in better spirits. Taryn, did you get that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, I think in that moment, it's just a lot to handle all at once. Like, you're vulnerable, now you're going to get nominated by one of your allies, and now you're on your way out of the house immediately. Like, that's going to be really hard to take, but I'm sure that after a couple of days of decompressing and thinking about it, she was able to get in a better place.
Yeah. So that Netta was basically saying that she knew that there was such a big target and there was really nothing that she could have done differently. And we've, discussed many times on this podcast, and you guys referenced it in the LFC roundtable, that I would have liked to have seen her play a less aggressive game this season. And, we had been talking on this show, might have been 2 or 3 weeks ago, where I think I asked a question of, will Netta ultimately be done in by the people in her alliance or the people that are not in her alliance? Like, the people in the six are going to get her or the people that are not in the six? And I think we all said, no, it's going to be the people that are in the six, not necessarily the people that she's targeting. I had said, Netta, the call is coming from inside the house. Get out, get out. And ultimately, that is how it went down. Brent, do you feel like that more could have been done to prevent this on her part?
Oh, 1,000 things. The thing that I didn't like that I was either in your interview or in another interview that I read was where she said, I had no chance of winning the game, that I came into this knowing I had no chance of winning the game. My first question is, well, why are you coming back then? Because she seemed to want to have it both ways in her exit interviews where she was like, I knew I wasn't going to win the game. So when I got this power, I decided that I was going to play balls out with it and make Canada happy. As I said on the podcast yesterday, that's a terrible reason to play, to make Canada happy. She could have. She said she vacillated between laying low and going all out and making Canada proud. And I wanted her to choose the former so badly. And because she never even made anything out of the latter. She said she was going to make big moves, but she didn't do anything with those big moves. She won HOH, and she didn't make any deals with anybody for when she did become vulnerable. She just said, Cass, I'm nominating you. Let's get her out. She never talked to these other people about, you know, like, let's make some deals. I want to keep you safe. She never tried to make relationships with many of the newbies. She sat in that room and studied with Jackie and Bruno. Like, I mean, I can point to 100 things she did wrong.
Yeah.
I take issue with some of that. I do think she definitely did a lot with that HOH. She won Jackie over. She got Bruno, she got Dylan and Emily at that point. I think it was after that HOH that she lost a lot of those people.
So let me just put a crazy theory out there.
Right.
And I'm sure some people are talking about this. I don't think it's impossible that Netta wins Big Brother 5. Big Brother Canada 5. Okay?
Okay.
Just hear me out.
Okay.
Because we've seen a buyback in Big Brother. Did they do one in Big Brother Canada 2? I don't think so,
no, there
right?
wasn't one in
but they
that
did it in Big Brother Canada 3. They did it in Big Brother Canada 4. And we saw, you know, no mention of it in the pre-jury. And now we're going to send somebody to the jury. And I just wonder, is that a possibility where, I mean, Brent, isn't this like a great sequel where Netta, she, you know, was sort of like, didn't win, but she went out on a high in her first season. Then she comes back and everybody's expecting great things, but then she stumbles in the first act and has to like hit rock bottom before she can come back into the house, like final seven, hair on fire, and then make a run to the end of this game?
I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, it's Big Brother Canada, and even in the U.S., they tend to, you know, do a jury buyback these days. They have for the past 4 seasons. So it wouldn't surprise me. I will say that in her interview with Arissa right after, Arissa shook her hand and said, you know, we'll see you on finale night. So that leads me to believe that there isn't going to be anything coming down the pipeline, but I've been shocked before.
Yeah. Perhaps that I don't know how much we should read into that. Maybe that decision's not even 100%, or they're still on the fence with it. But I just could see that happening. And I feel like that Netta's big style of play right now, Taryn, I think it would be something that would be very well received coming back in around Final 7, Final 8.
I agree. I think by the time Netta comes back in, if she is coming back in, I think a lot of people are going to be looking for somebody like Netta to come in and shake the game up. And if it is some kind of fan vote, I know the audience has turned on Netta at this point, but depending on who she's sitting there with, I can easily see them being like, why not throw Netta back in there? Even if we don't like her, she's going to be the most entertaining by far.
Yeah.
Right. If she's against some other vet and maybe a couple newbies and a fan vote, I mean, she's got that unlocked. If it's an endurance competition, I put my money on her every time. So there are a couple different ways.
Is she good at endurance competitions, though?
I mean, she lost that one in the beginning of the season, but she had William hanging on her, and I think she could, like, I put my money on her to stay up there all day. I mean, she's, like, to me, she's the perfect build for it. She's, you know, women typically do well in endurance competitions, and you know, she certainly has the mental fortitude for it, and she doesn't weigh a lot. She's like a stick, so, I mean, I can't imagine that she wouldn't be, she's at least replacement level or better as far as endurance competitions go.
Thing is, somebody else will be in there that will be very competitive with her. You have to imagine.
Oh, it's possible that there could be a few other people in the mix, but it's just fun to think about where, you know, this could be the movie where she hit rock bottom. She needs to go and sort of meditate on what happened over these next 3 weeks. She comes back all of a sudden and, you know, it could make for an exciting run. Like, you know, sometimes you have to take two steps back before you could take a few steps forward for Netta. So that could be an interesting story. Until they tell me that they're definitely not, I'm going to keep some hope alive for this. You know, I don't know if people like it or don't like it when I sort of cross the streams, but just to talk a little bit about Survivor here, and I want to just get into a little bit of some spoilers from the season of Survivor Game Changers, but really not for this past week's episode. So I'll give you a chance to get out if you're not caught up. 3, 2, 1. But Taryn, has the comparison been made yet between Netta here and Sandra in Survivor Game Changers?
I've seen some people mention it, but mostly just in the sense that it might actually have been Brent.
Hello, it was freaking me just yesterday.
Sorry about that. I was thinking the same.
Don't let me talk anymore.
Sorry.
Yes, I said it was definitely a comparison between Netta and Sandra, because I heard everything you said about Sandra and Game Changers, how this was not a good setup for her, that, you know, it wasn't like Sandra with other stars of Survivor coming back. Basically, it was Sandra, Tony, and everybody else.
It's coming
and
this back one, to me, Brent.
Yes, exactly. Well, freaking Netta, this was like that same thing with Netta. It was like Netta and seven other vets, maybe Cass, and then, you know, a bunch of new people. And so this was a terrible setup for her. I can't imagine she was ever going to win something like this. But that doesn't excuse her bad gameplay, though. That doesn't. I don't like it in her exit interviews when she says, well, I was never going to win anyway, so I decided to take big swings. No, you don't have to do that. There was still a path for you. We were on this very podcast. Taryn was saying how Netta was set up perfectly, and you blew it.
Okay, well, talk to me, because I don't really understand what the difference is, because I feel like that Sandra was almost universally applauded for her big gameplay in Survivor Game Changers, where Netta is taking a lot of flack. Why do you see it differently? And Brent, it is all coming back to me, where Taryn said that he thinks that Netta should have waited for a season that John Party was going to be in, and then she should have come back then.
Yes, apparently.
Sorry, it was a long day for me.
I mean, look, the difference between Sandra and Netta, I feel like Sandra has a better social game. She's actually able to empathize with people. And I feel like that Netta, I don't care what Taryn says about Dylan and Emily and Jackie, I still feel like she's a bit detached. She keeps people at arm's length. She's not able to get that touchy-feely kind of, you know, I really like you kind of feel that she needs to have for Big Brother. And beyond that, she doesn't have this ability to get people to make moves that are in her best interest while thinking that it's in their best interest. She was making moves within the alliance with Bruno's input to try to make moves for them. So they were cutting Gary, cutting Dallas, cutting Cass, none of which benefited two of the people in the alliance, namely Ika and Demetrius. And eventually the soldiers woke up. I mean, Ika and Demetrius realized, you know what? They keep trying to set us up here where they're keeping Dylan and Emily and Jackie in the game so they can go after us and replace us. They realized that, as they should have, and Netta was not able to play it off and give them a little bit. Like I said, if you go back to the beginning of last week, if Dylan goes and Emily stays, that doesn't really change the house dynamics at all. And Ika and Netta's relationship is totally, well, it's a lot better than what it was at the end of the double eviction.
Okay. So I want to talk about how Netta ultimately approached the situation with Cindy, because we got to see a lot more of that tonight than what we got to see in the double eviction. And so at that point, we see where Ika goes to Cindy and says, okay, you have to put Netta up on the block. And we get to see sort of the pitch that Netta is trying to make to Cindy to keep, don't do this, Cindy. You're going to choose the wrong side. Taryn, what did you learn when we got to see the more extended cut of that?
I was actually a little more impressed with Netta. I was kind of like really thinking that Netta was really messing up in that moment, which I wasn't totally blaming her for, because that's a really high pressure situation. You've learned that you're about to go on the block. Like, it's almost impossible to change somebody's mind. But she really threw out every single argument that she needed to, and also pleaded to Cindy's sense of like loyalty and friendship, which I think was the thing that was most effective and nearly got Cindy to not do it. But I think the thing that Cindy had inside of her that Netta couldn't have dispelled was, this is Netta. This is the legendary Netta, and I'm going to take her out, and this is going to be amazing. I can't sit next to her. I need to take her out at some point. And now's my opportunity. There's not much that Netta can say to argue against that point. So she did a pretty decent job arguing every other point. I still would have liked it if she didn't get into an argument, or at least so caught up in the argument with Aika. But that, too, kind of contributed to the idea of, leave Netta in the game, and she's definitely going to be fighting with Aika. You have no reason to take her out right now. You can leave the two of them in there. Unfortunately, just with Cindy, doesn't work.
I agree with you that the 5 minutes, 10 minutes that she spent with Cindy ahead of her being nominated, definitely I was more impressed by that, because I thought that she went off the rails a little bit in the edited version that we saw. Once we saw them fill in the blanks a little bit, I liked how she talked with Cindy. But that wasn't the problem. That it wasn't the 5 minutes that she spent with Cindy before she was eventually nominated. That was great. It was the 48 hours before the double eviction that was the problem. She spent all of her time in the study room with Jackie, as one of my Twitter followers reminded me about. And where was Cindy? With Aika. The entire freaking time while they were studying in that room together, Aika was chattering in Cindy's ear about Netta for 48 hours straight. So, I mean, on balance, I'm thinking that 48 hours is going to do a lot more than 5 minutes. And beyond that, I still have massive problems with the way Bruno handled
this. We'll get to that 1 second. Just in terms of the one of the things I always like to look at in these situations is the body language between these players in how they approach these things. What did you think about Netta and Cindy? I felt like that she was saying good things, but I just felt like that she, like, the eye contact wasn't there, Brent.
I agree with that. On the other hand, I will give Netta a pass on this thing. Look, you heard what Cindy said in the show. You know, Netta's a really fearsome competitor. I mean, if I make it to Final Two and I'm sitting next to her, I mean, what the heck am I going to do? How am I going to win that? Bitch, please. Like, that is the most illogical argument I've ever heard in my life. I wanted to bash my head up against the wall when I heard that. That's so terrible. There are 11 people left in the house, and you're worried about Netta in the Final Two?
The resume.
Yeah, but... That's the thing. In Netta's exit interview, she said that she feels like that Cindy is the Sierra Easton, to coin another Survivor analogy. She's the queen of big moves. She wanted to do this for TV, and that was only... So if that's the reason why Cindy wants to do it, all the logic in the world and empathy in the world will not help you in this instance.
Yeah. Well, maybe she could have reminded her, like, hey, Cindy... Remember what you happened last time you did this.
That's what Bruno said on the later on in the live feeds earlier this week. Bruno said that, you know, like with Parhar last time, that's what he said, his words. Parhar last time and Netta this time. Cindy just makes these moves out of nowhere. You don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah.
She's a legendary game breaker.
Legendary game breaker. So just going back to my exit interview with Netta also, that she said, this is what Cindy always does, that she just makes these moves. Moves for TV. So that was interesting.
Too,
all right.
Like I feel like you can say maybe this was for a resume, but I feel like people are just going to look at this like this is Cindy being Cindy, and they're going to lose respect for her rather than gain respect.
Yeah. And I didn't get it. I really thought that the move from Thursday night, I'm like, I really don't understand Cindy is doing here. And we'll talk it through. Okay. But I was surprised when I tuned in on Thursday night and Jordan and everybody on the show were like, oh my God, great move, Cindy. Everybody's like, how could she not win? This is great. Good
okay,
for Cindy.
Look, I heard what Jordan and Sarah and Peely were saying on Eviction
and
Night
Ashley.
That they thought. Okay, well, I was trying to be nice. I was trying to leave out one person. Because I was saying that too. I thought it was a relatively good move for Cindy that she can make this move and then go back in the background with the five. The thing that I did not realize that was shown to me on tonight's episode and that I didn't see in Thursday's episode is that the five are done. There is no way. Like, I didn't know that the alliance was outed by Netta. I didn't know that all of that came out in the double eviction. So there's no way they're going to be able to put that back together. Well, there's no way.
Brent, I couldn't believe when I was sitting there watching this tonight and watching the five, like, after all that happened, like, Cindy and Bruno and Kevin, like, with sitting there with Ika, like, boy, what's our next move here? Like, nothing happened. I couldn't believe it. All right, let's talk about Bruno and Kevin. And we learned that Bruno and Kevin, their new catchphrase is "not good, not good." so he's like, "What should I do? Not good, not good."
No.
Well,
good.
I don't want to dominate everything. Like, Taryn, are you going to bitch slap Bruno here, or do I need to?
Hold on, here. So you guys are so much more involved in all this stuff with the live feed. So me, as more of the outsider, why do we not see if Bruno and Kevin and Cindy, you know, that they have this alliance and they're from all the people from Big Brother Canada 3, and they've talked about Final 3. I mean, why doesn't neither of those guys just shake her? Like, no, don't do this.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
This is a
That's
bad
what
move. Do not do
he
this.
Be more
do not.
Firm. I don't understand. I have written on my paper. This is what he said. Cindy, I don't think this is a good idea. This isn't good, Cindy. I don't know. What? Just tell her what to do. Why won't you just tell her? Tell her, do not put Netta up or Iron Alliance is totally effed. That's what you need to say.
I mean, they treated it like they're like at the blackjack table and she's gonna, you know, hit on a 17, like, I don't know, like, I wouldn't do
so
it.
So ambivalent, Rob.
Yeah.
This is the difference between normal gameplay and a double eviction gameplay, because under normal circumstances, you don't want to be that aggressive. You do want to do what Bruno does and just going to be like, I don't know, like, let's let it subtly play out. But she is literally going down the stairs to make these nominations. You have to grab her and say, Cindy, under absolutely no circumstances do this, or we are just totally screwed. Because you, like, if we lose Netta, we like, there's nothing. We've got nothing. You cannot do this under any circumstances.
Exactly. That's what he needed to say.
That's enough doubt.
Yes.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And then we saw, you know, Bruno sticking with Netta, and like, Bruno's like trying to comfort Netta, but like, I don't know, he's thinking like, oh, this is a jury vote, I gotta comfort. But it seemed like that there was work to do, and I don't know where Kevin was during any of this.
That way, I mean, when you saw him sitting on the couch for the longest time, I mean, like, did he just take it for granted that Cindy's in our alliance and she's going to do something relatively smart? If he thought that, he could tell that by the initial nominations. Basically, she put two people on the block that are in Kevin's corner, in Dylan and Jackie. I mean, you could argue maybe Dylan's not currently, but they're at least not with the other side of the house so overtly.
I mean, neither of those guys tried to have a conversation with Ika. Like, Ika, what are you doing here? Hey, let's. I mean, they just are so afraid of Ika that they're going to be the next target. I mean, it seemed like then when they're having that meeting of the people in the five, again, it was like that none of this ever happened, that somebody from this group did not just backstab somebody else from the group.
This is another thing that they I mean, Kevin and Bruno also were in the past 48 hours. And before this, just they were not checking in with Cindy enough, especially knowing who Cindy is and the kinds of moves that she's made in the past. You need to have more season 3 alliance meetings with Cindy, where you tell her the lay of the land and what's going on, and make sure that she understands that she's still with you, and that she, like, that Ika is saying one thing, Netta is saying another thing. We're going to stay in the middle. We're going to stay impartial. We're not going to get involved in that, because that's going to be disastrous for us. They weren't checking in with her enough, and by the time they tried to, it was far too late.
Right. They were too busy broing down, worrying about whether or not Dylan or Emily was going to stay, and what's Dylan going to do if he stays in the house? I mean, like, hold on to the people who are close to you first, then worry about Dylan. And by the way, they kept Dylan in the house, and Dylan didn't even make the nominations that they, well, we can't say that yet. They did. We saw the nomination. Bruno wanted him to do Dimitri's and Ika, and he did not do Dimitri's and Ika. He did Dimitri's and Jackie, who's a number for Bruno. So it didn't even get him anything.
I'm seeing in the chat, Nate Hall says, more Cindy sitting.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
More.
Well, I you know what? Ika did that for two days before, and you see how it paid off.
Yeah.
It was all about timing, too. Like, Ika had Cindy, then she completely lost Cindy for a few days, and then she had her again. And she just the double eviction happened to fall on a moment where Ika had Cindy, And you just can't let that happen if you're somebody who's not Ika.
Taryn, and is it even more surprising to you that these two guys in Bruno and Kevin, you know, they went through that triple eviction in Big Brother Canada 3. I mean, that don't you think that they would have really been, if anyone was ready for this, it would have been them?
You would have thought so, but I think they just, they got kind of complacent, especially in the last week, because William had won HOH and William was on the other side of the house, and yet they were still completely safe. They had managed to keep each other safe. They were really feeling like, we've got this game on lock right now, and they really didn't. They really didn't.
Okay. All right. We got to see also something that we didn't see in the show from Thursday night, where Dimitri's rubbed it in Netta's face when he goes to go vote. You were safe for an hour, Brent. Did you like that?
Well, okay, look, I know some people are going at him on Twitter about it. You know, they say, but here's the thing. I don't have any problem with people if they get snappy with people after people get snappy with them. It's not optimum gameplay, but I get it. I had problems with Netta when she would deuce, like, you know, get Gary on the block and then 3 days later roll her eyes at him and laugh at Cass on the way out the door. You don't need to do that. But look, and you saw it in the moment that Netta called. She told Dimitris to shut up, that, you know, you're her little puppy dog. You do exactly what they want. You're just a number for them. She basically insulted him and didn't even call him a player in this game. So I understood where Dimitris was coming from when he went in the diary room and said, you know, girl, you only made it an hour after your immunity was up. Like, I mean, he's giving it right back to her. I couldn't even believe Netta's response. Like, oh, you see the kind of person he is. I mean, I know she's upset at that point, so I'll give her a pass, but it looked like to me that they were both giving it to each other just fine.
Taryn, what about Netta blowing up the six in front of everybody? I wasn't really sure what that was going to do at that point, because other than, like, get her allies into more hot water. Did you think that that was a good decision, or is that just sour grapes?
I mean, she has ammo that she can use, and she's going to use it if she feels like she has to. She had talked about it previously during the week. Like, if something happens, we always can just out the alliance and mess Ika up, and hopefully that will do something. You know, when she knows that she's probably going up, she's got to try something. And really, it should have helped work Cindy to not put her up, because if Cindy's trying to save the six or the five, the fact that Netta just outed it means it's much less likely to succeed anyway. But of course, Cindy isn't thinking that in that way. So it's not going to work with Cindy. But I mean, I cannot fault her at all for just throwing whatever she can at the wall.
I don't know. It felt like sour grapes to me. It really did. But well, I mean,
she planned on it. She had talked about this as a strategy.
It still felt like sour grapes. I know she talked about it earlier, but I don't think, how is that going to change anything once you're up on the block? I mean, it's not like they just needed one vote. They needed at least two votes. And I don't see where they were going to get those two votes.
Why would she not say it? And why would she not try? Like, we'd be punishing her, or we'd be criticizing her for not trying.
I'm not going to criticize her for it, but it felt like sour grapes. So there.
Okay. All right. Anything else from the double eviction that we got to see tonight? Taryn, anything else before we start to get into what goes on after?
We can briefly talk about the nominations, I guess.
Okay.
We didn't really touch on those too much.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start to get into that, because we got to see sort of like a little bit of politicking in between. We saw really for the first time all of the new players start to talk together. Brent, was that a new development where we ended up seeing Karen and Will and Dre and Jackie and Dylan talking and all on the same page?
No. I mean, these are basically the people that were trying to save Cass and Gary previously, or some, you know, combination of them. They've basically been talking. I mean, obviously, Jackie coming into the room and saying something. She's like a day late and a dollar short to that party. I mean, these people have been talking forever, and now you've been up Netta's butt the entire time, and now you're coming in saying, I need to find some people to work with. Well, I guess you do. It shows me what a bad player she is when she goes in the diary room and says, you know, well, I'm sort of a lone wolf in this game, and I don't really have anybody. There's a reason for that. You're playing terrible.
Taryn, were the feeds back up by this point? I mean, what were Kevin and Bruno saying after the double eviction?
They were saying, not good.
Not good.
Not good. Not good.
Yeah, that's a catchphrase.
they were basically saying, like, Cindy just completely ruined us. We are really in deep trouble right now.
I can't believe she did that. She ruined us. What was she thinking? Again, all stuff that they should have said to Cindy. I just don't understand why they... I mean, like I said, if they didn't realize that they were in trouble, they should have realized it from her nominations, because her nominations of Dylan and Jackie, which I... just pat myself on the back and say I did predict that somebody would pull something like Dylan and Jackie, because those are inoffensive nominations that anybody would make and would make the entire house happy. When in a double eviction, when everything is moving fast, you're always going to make nominations like that unless you have a plan, and she didn't have a plan. So, of course, she's going to put up Dylan and Jackie. And obviously, that's going to come back to bite her in this episode when she's at least on the short list of the next nominations when Dylan predictably wins HOH.
Okay. All right, let's get to this HOH where we had sort of this buzzer competition. Was this fun to watch in the real time of it?
Hell no!
Okay. Just checking.
Sorry.
I mean, Brent, you were always talking about like, show us the endurance comps! Show us endurance comps!
It was okay until they decided to start making a deal when Dylan started whining. And by the way, I know the episode made it look like, you know, Dylan basically asked for HOH and then they gave it to him. That's not how it happened.
Okay, give us how it happened.
Well, I mean, this competition went on. You saw them at the bottom of the screen. It's 7.5 hours. I mean, you know, from the time a buzzer went off to the next buzzer, it was like 2 hours at a time sometimes, an hour and a half. And the house guests were just, they were over it. By the way, the other thing the Big Brother left out was that they had locked the storage room in the refrigerator. So the house guests had been on slop. They were basically have-nots for what, Taryn, a day, 2 days preceding this?
Yeah, I think it was just that day.
That day. Okay. So they were all hungry. They had not had any food whatsoever besides slop. And so that's why Big Brother was tempting them with the Chinese food. Because I'm sure you're thinking to yourself, these people live in a house. Like, why are they so enamored with Chinese food and beer?
I did notice the lock on the refrigerator. But I'm glad that nobody was drinking the beer in that challenge.
Dylan got the beer, didn't he, Taryn? Yes, I want to say he did.
But why were people who were out of the competition allowed to go and get the slop passes? Why?
That was so stupid. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't
understand that. All right, so talk about how this deal, because it looked from the show that there were four people, including the not good bros, Bruno and Kevin, who split with four people for $500 Canadian each. They walked away from a chance to be the HOH.
Yeah, I mean, I think for them, their thought was, because Dylan was basically saying, I'm going to nominate Aika and Dimitri. And they were thinking, if Dylan does that for us, fantastic. And this is like really emblematic of something that they continually mess up on, which is like, oh, optimal situation. We got to go for it. Instead of thinking about like, realistically, if this doesn't go through, we're already in a bad spot. We'll be in an even worse spot. So, I mean, I think they were thinking this would be great if it worked, but yeah.
Yeah. They wanted to, first of all, they were all tired. It was a long competition. And Dylan kept, the other thing to keep in mind is Dylan kept saying, you know, you guys aren't going to beat me in this competition. I'm a boxer. My hand-eye coordination is great. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to win this. And if you guys piss me off, you know, I mean, he was basically like, you know, I need to see my family. Don't make me mad kind of thing. He basically whined himself for an hour and a half to an HOH quote-unquote win. And Big Brother didn't even want to give it to him. You saw there where he hit the buzzer and they said, congratulations, you're the HOH. That's not how it happened. He hit the buzzer. Big Brother had to let a minute go by. Then the feeds went down. Like, it was obvious Big Brother did not want to give them the deal that they want, that they put together. But there was really no way that the house guests were going to not give Dylan the HOH. As far as Bruno and Kevin, I agree with Taryn that they thought this was going to be optimal. They can get Dylan to do our dirty work. We can get Aika Dimitris out of the house, and then we can compete for HOH next week. On the other hand, they were in a bad spot. They needed to take control of the game here. And I said this before on the podcast. I don't know if it was with you, Rob, or maybe it was with Taryn, where they do not underestimate, or they do not understand the fact that they have burned Dylan. The fact that Kevin wouldn't use that veto on Emily or Dylan. Dylan just has not let that go, and he will not let that go. He's pissed at them for it. He feels ute.
He lost Emil Bay.
Yes, exactly. Even though he has a new one in Karen.
Yes, yes. He did say that tonight with in the vacuum of not having Emily, that Dylan did have a new Emily.
I want you, and you're my new Emily.
Good.
Except on like a mom level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, on a mom level.
It's mommy dearest. Mommy Dearest.
It is Mommy Dearest. I was so great to see this tonight because, you know, we saw in his HOH package that he didn't have a father figure when he was younger. It was only his mom and now it's his niece. He's the kind of guy who likes to surround himself with beautiful women. So that's why he is really not keen to bro down with Bruno and Kevin, even though they think he's with them. He's not.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just talk through some of these machinations now that we had Dylan as the HOH, because it looked to me like Dimitri's went to go to volunteer to go be on the block. Taryn, is that correct?
Basically, what Dimitri's was doing was saying, I'm almost entirely positive I'm going to be put on the block. So I'm going to try and be as cordial as possible and just be like, listen, I know you're going to do it. It's totally fine. Which is a very risky maneuver because there's definitely some leeway. There's definitely some universe where he goes up to Dylan and says, please don't nominate me. I'll work with you if you don't nominate me. And that potentially works. So I wouldn't say he volunteered, but he definitely was just like, you can do it. It's fine. We're going to work together afterward if I survive.
But Brent, yeah, I feel kind of like that. I do feel like that is the secret to surviving the block, sort of that attitude.
Yeah, I agree because I didn't have a problem with it. In fact, I liked it because him going up to Dylan and saying, I know you're going to put me on the block. I get it. That could make Dylan second guess and say, why is this guy so willing to go on the block? Like, what's up? Is there something going on that I don't know about? And on the other hand, he's being cool to me. So there's that. I mean, I felt like he was between a rock and a hard place and he chose the rock. Taryn wants him to choose the hard place. It's like, whatever.
Yeah. I didn't say I wanted him to. I'm saying this is a risky maneuver. I think usually it's the better maneuver, but it is risky to do it for sure.
Okay. We got to see then Dylan have a strategy session with new Emily, and that would be Karen. And so they come up with a plan where they talk about where Karen, of course, she'd like to see Kevin go up on the block. But then they come up with an idea where Dylan says that he would backdoor Kevin, and Karen says this.
Okay, I will go for that.
That's what I was thinking.
She'll go for that.
Yeah.
it's a creepy whispering in all these clips.
Dylan, I'm telling you, there's nothing I'd like more than to get Kevin out of the house. She will say that he is the worst person I've ever met in my entire life.
Yep.
That effing Kevin Martin.
Yes, that's it. For those of you who don't watch the live feeds, that's how Karen addresses Kevin. She never calls him Kevin. It's always that Kevin Martin or that effing Kevin Martin. I mean, that's how she talks about him. She has, again, this is what it's like dealing with crazy people in the house. Cindy is not a completely logical person. Neither is Karen. Karen is an illogical person. Kevin is somebody who, really never did anything to Karen. But for some reason, she absolutely dislikes Kevin with a real passion, and I can't really explain it.
Karen, what do you think of Kevin? Not good. Not good. It's not good. I don't like him. I don't want him here anymore.
It's amazing to think like how different Kevin's game would be if Karen wasn't in there. It's like somebody who just randomly hates him for no reason.
I've got an idea. Why don't we backdoor Kevin this week? Like,
Literally every week.
So that's the plan. For these nominations, the reason like Twitter lit up because, when Dylan won HOH, basically all of us wanted to take our phones and throw it at the wall. Like when he whined himself to a win, I was through. I thought we were going to get some bro down with him and Bruno, like, putting up Ike and Dimitri's. But then when I start to hear the plan of, okay, first of all, it's not going to be Ike and Dimitri's. It's going to be Dimitri's and Jackie, who I could care less about. So that's fine, put her up. And then there's a backdoor plan for JP's own Kevin Martin to go on the block. This is interesting. At least Dylan's gaming now. I like it.
Okay. All right. So that's it for the episode. I'm trying to see, Scott, do we have some questions you want to take or do we want to go into the live feeds here? Well, Scott's giving me the thumbs up, so we'll take some questions. Hashtag RHAP. Let's do a question or two, and then we'll dive into talking about everything going on with the live feeds. Okay, Scott St. Pierre has got something for us, so why don't we dive into Love Tour Alex? We always start with Love Tour Alex. What argument could Netta have used with Cindy to convince her not to put her up, or Cindy can't be reasoned with? I'm sure Cindy could be reasoned with. Taryn or Brent, is there something that Netta could have said?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. The problem was not, it wasn't that there was any magical bullet that she could have used to make Cindy not put her up. It was that she didn't Cindy sit for the time that she needed to prior to the double eviction and have a, you know, cordial, well, actually it was a cordial relationship, but she didn't sit with her and just chat and girl chat about, you know, shoot the shit. I mean, she just didn't do that. And Ika did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it would be hard for her to sort of like make the compelling case. And I don't know if you even could have, like, Cindy, you're doing so good right now. Nobody is coming for you.
If she could have made the callback to JP, and I know it's very hard to think of it in the moment, you know, we're all talking, I didn't realize until after the fact of how mirrored those two things were. But if she could have said to Cindy, look, you're in a really great position right now. If you pull me out of the Jenga board, if I'm out of here, you're going to be target numero uno for many people in the house. Cindy didn't realize that. I'm sure, look, there are many things that players don't want. The number one thing, just like second chances on Survivor, they don't want to suffer the same fate that they did the first time around. They don't want to look like a fool.
But it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
If she could have thought of that and said to Cindy, look, you know, if you do this, you're very likely to go out next week. That's exactly what happened to you last time. You pulled something, you know, and got one of your own allies out of the house. As the first jury member, not good, Cindy.
Not good. Not good.
Not
okay.
Good.
All right. Tom Palmer says, Dre wanting to cut Dimitri's is bad, right? Isn't it like Brittany targeting Willow? We didn't really talk a lot about Dre tonight, but she had some interesting moments. Taryn, what do you think about Dre basically telling Dylan she doesn't care if Dimitri's goes up? I believe her quote to Dylan was,
do you, boo-boo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dre is playing an interesting game. I think interesting, probably the best way of putting it. Targeting Dimitri's, she thinks that if she gets rid of Dimitri, it forces Ika to pick a side, at which point Ika will pick her, and she'll have Ika all to herself. And it's total nonsense. Like, if she strikes a blow at Dimitri, Ika is going to be pissed. And if Ika finds out that Dre was saying that she wanted Dimitri out, which is a very like likely possibility because she's telling Dylan this, then like that's disastrous for her game. I have no idea what Dre just like has all of these like weird ideas about what she should be doing. And she's not doing anything that I want her to be doing in the game. And yeah, I mean, targeting Dimitri, definitely a bad move here.
Oh, look, another crazy person in the house. It's Dre who wants to target somebody who A, isn't coming after her, B, is a giant shield in front of her, and C, is allies with her number one. Seriously, she's such an idiot. You do you, boo-boo. Yeah, that's great. You know, she thinks it's going to be great. She says she fears Dimitri. But look, Dimitri loves Dre. He's not going to put her up. I mean, there are people on the other side. You heard the five talk about, you know, Cindy. I love it. Right after the double eviction, she could have nominated Dre. Right after the double eviction, Cindy's on the couch with the five saying, you know, well, Dre has to go. We're worried about her. She's our number one target. Well, then where was she? You could have put her up in the double eviction. Oh, my God, Rob, with these people.
Okay, let's do one more of the live feeds. Steven Flashback, who's this? Is Karen the Canadian version of Debbie Wanner? No, she's definitely not. I would not say that that's the case. Do you guys see any shades of Debbie?
I mean, she's an older woman who has, you know, says some crazy things. Like, I love the thing that she said to Taryn recounted on the live feed show about when Kevin said, you know, well, what's your birthday? And she's like, I'm not telling you. Why do you want to know? I'm not telling you.
I don't know you.
Anything, Kevin. What else do you want to know from me? You want to know my social security number too, you creep?
I mean, like, she is genuinely very vicious toward Kevin. Like, and people laugh at it, but it is very, like, mean. And I think she's genuinely trying to be mean-spirited about it. But it's just funny coming from her, whereas with Debbie, it's kind of scary. So there's definitely some difference there.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into the live feeds, because I know there's a lot of stuff going on. So what we're going to do here, we are going to take a quick break. Come back, and then let's talk live feed spoilers with Taryn and Brent here on our Big Brother Canada 5 recap. And here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
a spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Oh, my God. The guys are so into it tonight.
I was just trying to imitate Taron on that famous GIF that they made of him. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys are dancing for the GIFs now.
Yeah, definitely. I will own that one.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So many GIFs of the LFC out there. All right. So let's talk about this. Taron, do you want to talk us through where we're at right now at this hour?
Yes.
Let's start with the veto.
Yes, Dimitri and Jackie were nominated. They played in the veto. This was basically like a must win, or we thought a must win for Kevin if he didn't want to be backdoored. And Dimitri ends up winning it. So
not good.
We're thinking, oh man, Kevin's done.
Not good.
But for whatever reason, nobody pushes Kevin. Instead, they push Cindy. And so Dylan is thinking, okay, I'm going to replace Dimitri with Cindy. And we just got back from the veto ceremony as we were starting this podcast. And Cindy is, in fact, on the block. And the votes are there to get her out the week after she makes this move.
Oh, boy. So, once again, are we saying that Cindy is going to head off to the jury to be the second juror behind the first juror that she single-handedly got knocked out of the house?
Yes, and we can only hope that they have a showmance together. That would be great,
Well,
actually.
This would be something. This would be something. Netta would finally start Cindy sitting.
Yeah.
That's your hashtag.
Okay. Yeah, I know, right? I thought everything was going perfectly.
Never.
Kevin could have been the backdoor plan. Even Kevin sensed that he was the backdoor plan because, as you know, you saw in that HOH competition, he technically wasn't part of the deal there at the end because he went and got, like, $400 or whatever, and which is, you know, pitiful. It's, I mean, Kevin makes that in one bet and hold him, so I don't understand why he had to go get the money. But it's not going to be Kevin. It's going to be Cindy, and it is Cindy.
Okay, so, all right, let's talk through a lot of different parts of this. Okay, so how did it not be Kevin, Taron?
Well, it basically, you know, Kevin was a part of this deal that Dylan made in the HOH.
Oh, was he?
He was barely a part of the deal.
Barely.
As we saw in the episode, he kind of just like was like, oh man, how do I get myself back in this? And good on Kevin for making himself get back in on that deal, because there was definitely outs for Dylan to say, Kevin, you weren't in on that deal. But he wasn't on the deal. That's what everybody assumed. That's what Dylan thought. And everybody basically went up to Dylan and said, listen, I know you're not going to put up Kevin. I know you would never break your word. That's not who you are. So why don't you put up Cindy instead? And not really realizing that he was planning on putting up Kevin before the veto. And so when everybody said that, I feel like they ingrained it in his head that, like, yeah, I guess I can't break my word. That would be bad. Like, I'm in this game. I have integrity. I need to play integrally or whatever it is that Dylan, that Devin said. And so he was like, yeah, I guess I got to do Cindy. And even though Dre made a late last second push to try to get him to backdoor Bruno, it was at that point, the idea was ingrained in him that, like, I got to stick to my word. I'll take out Cindy. That's fine. It's a perfectly acceptable alternative. And that's why it's Cindy and not Kevin and Bruno.
Okay. See, I want to go back to where we started, at the double eviction. I wanted to get into it then, but it was spoiler stuff. So, I put it on the back burner, but Cindy's decision to make this move that at the time it happened, I was so confused about what she was thinking. I know she wants to make good TV, but she was so safe, Brent. I really thought that this was highly questionable for her to go after this at this point in time. And now here she is. And I know you guys talked about this yesterday. Was she just unlucky that this worked out this way? And maybe so. But I just didn't get the move in the first place.
Well, the thing that we didn't touch on in this podcast that we did yesterday was, what the hell was she doing winning that HOH in the first place? That was the first problem. She was in a totally safe position. And she puts 22 when the answer's like 130. Like, why didn't she just put a million if she didn't want to win it? Like, I think she's trying to kind of have it both ways. Like, she didn't really know if she should throw. Look, she should have thrown it. That's the short answer. She should have thrown it. She knew it was just her and Kevin. Why is she trying to take it away from Kevin? Let Kevin do all the dirty work. Let him make the play, and you're still fine.
She needs that resume.
This isn't like the Steve situation where he guessed wrong to try to throw the competition, like, with like four consecutive questions. This was like she answered correctly a lot, and then she put a reasonable answer as her tiebreaker question. She had no business having this HOH, and obviously had no business making this kind of move when she was in such a great spot as it was. I feel for her, like,
right,
doing the same thing again, and she's going to be going to that jury with Netta, and she's going to have that exact same moment again.
Oh, Netta is never going to let this go in that jury house.
Exactly. And like
at least Jordan was like, willing to forgive, but Netta is not going to be as, happy to see her.
The jury. This is the jury segment that I think I am most looking forward to of any jury segment of all time. I'm so excited for Cindy to walk in that door and see Netta, and just like, it's going to be a beautiful moment.
Hey,
I feel for Cindy, but it's going to be beautiful.
Can we talk about one more thing? Because I haven't heard you address this.
Great.
The crowd reaction in the studio when Cindy was making those nominations. First of all, they applauded when Netta was told that you're no longer immune anymore. Netta is now officially on the block, people. You know, she's available to be nominated. And the audience was cheering for that. Then when she was eliminated from the HOH competition, they were cheering for that. You go back to a week previous when they were cheering and the house guests can hear all of this, so you know, and the house guests in the inside even think this, Bruno thinks this, that an element of Cindy wanting to put up Netta was to make Canada happy, and I don't really feel great about that. So if, you know, I know we're looking at, you know, she shouldn't have won the HOH in the first place, but once she did, she's trying to like, well, I want to make Canada happy. I want to do a solid here, and I feel like that was a part of her wanting to put Netta up more than anything.
Yeah, I get it. And even, you know, when Aika, everything that she did, there was a big pop behind that, like it was a wrestling show. It's just, then at that point, it's like, then why do you have the studio audience there? I think that the show sort of feeds off that energy, and I understand that from the integrity of the game, but I feel like that you can't have it both ways. You want to have the crowd there because they bring so much energy to these like huge moments and pops and swings that happen on the live show. And if you're going to sort of silence that, then it sort of like defeats the purpose to me to have an audience there that has to sit there and be quiet.
They don't have to silence it, but this doesn't happen on BBUS nearly to the extent that it happened here. I mean, first of all, Arissa is standing right in front of the audience, so you can see all of them applauding. So even if they did have the sound off, you would still see these people, you know, cheerful with glee that Netta was on the block.
We don't get that with Julie John. I feel like I have not seen that shot on Big Brother US. So
like for me, like to the point where they are booing through Netta's eviction speech.
Yeah.
Like that's where it's just like it's immediately discrediting anything she says. She had no chance. Like, even if she did have a magic bullet, it would have been discredited by the audience.
Yeah.
And that just feels wrong.
The thing that it seems like Julie Chen has, like, a clicker where she can click on and off if she wants to be heard or not. And I just feel like Arissa has, like, a big microphone that just sort of picks up everything. So,
And I don't know what the venue size is. I would guess that the Big Brother U.S. studio audience is smaller than what they have at the Big Brother Canada, live show. But it's tough. It would be great if they could wrangle that audience, but like I understand that, you know, the show wants to make it feel exciting also for the people that are home, that you have like sort of like the same way that you have like a, you know, studio audience on a comedy show, you know, that you want to have that excitement there. So I get what they're going for, but it would be great if they could lock it down.
I hear you. One thing I wanted to talk about really quickly before there's another question that because I wrote this down. Taryn, how bad was Cindy when she went to go talk with Dylan? I mean, I know that was before she was initially put up as a nominee, but that talk that she had with Dylan, I thought was utterly terrible. She was like, well, you know, I put you on the block, but you were never really going to want to go. You were never really going to go home.
Yeah, Netta made me do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. What? And like,
not good.
And like, not only was she not doing well for herself, but she discredits the two people that are going to try to protect her the most in Kevin and Bruno by saying like they were the ones trying to like with Netta trying to like get Karen on the block so you would go home. And that Aika and Dimitri were the two people, or Aika at the very least, was the one that was working to save you, which credits the person that is going to be throwing Cindy under the bus in the coming days. And the basically only alternative to her being put on the block. Like this is not what you should be telling him. You should be telling him you can't trust Aika, that Aika was trying to get you out, or like it was something, like anything other than discrediting the people that are going to be helping you and crediting the people that are going to be throwing you under the bus.
Okay. So can you guys just talk through for me the sides now with Cindy going to potentially be going out the door this week? Is everybody on the same page, or we have like Bruno and Kevin are working to try to save her?
They don't have the votes, and they know they don't have the votes. I mean, maybe they could try something.
These guys are
where
real fair weather friends. I mean, it's like, they don't stick their neck out for anybody. It's like, how's it looking? Not good. All right, stay in. Forget it.
Well, not good.
Keep
not
your pants dry.
Taryn, what should they do here for Cindy? Tell me what they should do.
First, I should say that Bruno was pushing very hard to try and save Cindy from being nominated. Kevin also made a very valiant effort yesterday, and he actually almost got Dylan to at least consider putting up Aika instead of Cindy. So they are trying, and I think even now they're thinking about ways that they can try and get Cindy the votes, but they recognize that they really just don't have the votes, and there's basically nothing they can do about it, but I'm sure they're going to try to come up with plans to get the votes. But really, at this point, they need to just work on Jackie. They need Jackie, because there's no saving Cindy, and Jackie's going to stay in the game. And Jackie is somebody who doesn't really have loyalties to anyone. If they can get her to, at the very least, not be coming after them, that's at least one person they have.
Rob,
they really don't have anyone
else.
Just
to talk about the sides, I mean, honey, there are no sides here. It's basically Kevin and Bruno by themselves and everybody else coming after them. Even Jackie not has good. Made nice with Aika now, and they have, even though they've not told anybody about this, it was nice to see that Aika and Jackie were at least able to have a civil conversation where they decided, you know, like, let's try to not target each other here. It wasn't touchy-feely, but it was okay. It was admirable, and I feel like Kevin and Bruno are in. They got to win an HOH to reset the game.
Why has Aika soured on Cindy, Brent?
The problem was this deal. This is the problem. The deal. The deal really it sort of made it so Aika was like, well, you know, there's only so many people. First of all, he's not going to put up Karen. That's his new Emily. The house guests sort of realized that they have relationship. Right. And so they're not going to, he's not going to put up Bruno and Kevin. He's not going to put up William and Dre.
Kevin, come on.
Okay. So there's only three people left. There's somebody who nominated him during the double eviction in Cindy. There's Aika, Demetrius, and Jackie. He nominated two of those people. So now it's down to Aika and Cindy. So of course she's like, Cindy, get out in front of that bus, girl. Get out in front. That's what's going on.
And I think the important thing to note is that, like, Cindy was never in good with Aika. Aika never liked Cindy. She was just using Cindy to get Netta out in that moment. She really doesn't like Cindy for a lot of reasons, including some reasons outside of the house. And Aika basically, shortly after Cindy did this for her, was like, thanks for getting Netta out for me, but sorry, you got to go this week.
Yeah, yeah, possibly one of the worst moves in Big Brother Canada history. I mean, and one of the best moves by Aika to get somebody who she doesn't even like, who's not, you know, considered an ally, to make a move for her against her mortal enemy, and Aika's able to get it done, not even having to win HOH.
Yeah, I mean, the really funny thing when you go back to the live eviction is that everything Netta said was true, and nobody believed
it. Oh, yeah.
She's like, no, Aika's going to destroy the alliance. Like, she's like, this is not a good move. Don't do it. Don't listen to her. Like, it was like, yeah, right, Netta. I hear that audience.
Well, yeah, exactly. Again, it's like when the audience is booing when Netta says that, it's like, well, she must be lying.
I don't think that they were booing. That wasn't lie. Like, one, you know, in the real time, you know, that when she was giving her speech, yes. But it seemed like that, I mean, based on the episode, I don't think they're piping in the live feed of what's going on in the house to the audience.
No.
You know, Arissa threw it to, hey, here's what you saw during the commercial break. And then they're seeing things play out in that way. All right. Let's get back into some of these questions, and I'm sure we'll talk through anything else that's going on. Here we go. This is another one from Marjorie Diaz-Twine. Why were fans freaking out when Netta got boos? On BBUK, everyone gets booed. Canada obviously borrows a lot of the elements from BBUK. Brent, they get booed on Big Brother UK, so what's the problem here?
My problem with it is, again, like you said, they're trying to have it both ways. They try and, you know, lock everybody in the house, no contact with the outside world, no, you know, interacting with anybody on social media, anything like that. But then all of a sudden, you know, during these random live evictions or double evictions, they're able to get essentially feedback from the way the audience is feeling. It doesn't feel like it's within the integrity of the game that they currently have set up. It feels like it is beyond what should be allowed. That's how I feel about it. I have no problem with Netta getting boos. She did plenty of things to get boos, and I did feel bad for her crying, but, you know, if I was there, I probably would have booed her a little bit too, because I didn't like some of the mean girl things that she did when she was in power. Having said that, they shouldn't let the house guests hear that much of it, in my view.
Yeah, I just wonder, at this point in time, in 2017, I mean, are we just like yelling to hear ourselves on this between care packages,
okay,
Canada's HOH, and America's Player, and you know, all of these things? Like, have we just gone like full OTT with this stuff, Taryn?
Rob, if we don't carry the torch, nobody will.
I guess not.
All right, I was going to say, Rob.
We can't just give in.
Have you met me and Taryn? You're talking about people who like to yell to hear ourselves?
Good. Well, I'm just glad that we found an issue you guys are on the same side on. So I'm happy.
Especially on a season like this where I feel like, you know, despite some hiccups, it's going pretty well. And I think that's largely because there are less twists and there is less involvement, like less BB UK stuff that they're trying to shove
in. Oh, speaking of that, we didn't even touch on. Yes, do you want to take it, Taryn? Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
There was a leak on the live feeds. There was a brief shot of what looks like a hidden veto power in some sort of like hidden passageway. There's a doorway in the backyard. And there, as we talked about on the roundtable show, there is talk of a shockwave twist coming soon. So it looks like there is going to be a twist introduced probably next week. It might be similar to the one in Big Brother Canada 2, where there was a hidden veto and they had to find it, or it might be something else like the have not power. Who knows?
Or a diamond veto. We don't know exactly what it is. It's certainly
some
a possibility.
Form of veto. There's a big description under it that we can't read.
Okay. But we can read the words power of veto under it, and it has the V sign too. So we know it's some kind of veto. I can't remember what. Oh, I was going to say that, the feeds have been down all day. That's the other thing too. I don't understand this. You know, first of all, they just had the nominate or the veto ceremony like what, 30 minutes ago. And it's like, you know, 10 o'clock at night. That's ridiculous. Usually they have it at the beginning part of the day. So I don't know what happened, but they've had the feeds have been off for like 8 hours and they were on for like 20 minutes and they went back off again. So something had to happen today. I don't think that there's a veto in play at this point, but I wouldn't bet my life on it.
Okay. Who's going to win this game right now, Taryn?
I mean, that's a tricky question because, you know, things are very up in the air right now, especially after Netta left. There's a lot of stuff that's going around. And I think the next HOH is going to probably determine what direction the game goes in. But the people I'm looking at, and I got a lot of slack for pointing this out on Twitter today, was I'm really starting to say, watch out for Jackie. Because
She
has been the one player who has remained unaffected by a lot of the power shifts. And she is somebody that is able to continually float around. She's not a rat floater, but she is a very much a floater. And she's going back and forth. And she has been able to make connections with the people that she needs to. The fact that she has been able to, and this isn't entirely Jackie's doing, it is also Ika's doing, and it's good on Ika. But the fact that she is able to connect with Ika again, when I didn't think that was necessarily possible, says a lot of good things about Jackie's game moving forward. The biggest downside to her game was that even though she might make it to the end, she's probably not going to win. But I think the fact that she's made relationships with Ika again and that she's always had a relationship with people like Kevin and Bruno, I do think that there's definitely a decent chance that she gets respect in the end. So I'm saying definitely watch out for Jackie. She's somebody that I think people should watch out for. William, I think you should watch out for. And obviously, Ika, if things continue to go her way, it looks like she's in the best spot to win right now.
I'd be very okay with an Ika win.
Yeah, I kept waiting for the period in that sentence somewhere. I felt like I was listening to myself there for a minute. Just kidding, Karen. Just kidding. I have to say, look, he was asking for a winner. In no universe do I see Jackie getting five votes.
They're going to call Taryn out for being a fancy fencerton with naming a bunch of people.
I had to. But no, I was like, there's no way that Jackie's going to get five votes here. I mean, come on.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people always underestimate these people. I said the same thing of Steve. I said the same thing of Nicole. I'm saying you need to watch out for this kind of player because they are often overlooked.
If she gets to the end with Dylan, I still think Dylan wins. And I said yesterday, but I don't think that anymore. I still think people do. They just don't.
That'll make us long for the days of Kelsey and the Pax Bros.
Listen, you said that she's not a rat floater. She's just a floater. The house sees her as a rat floater, and that's a problem. The only person who's ever played the rat floater game is Andy, and he got to the end with Gina Marie. I don't think that she can play the rat floater game and win. I don't see it. The only person, the people that I'm looking at to win are Ika and Dre. I feel like Dimitri's always good. I feel like that she's an idiot, but I feel like she could win. I feel like that, and also Karen, and I'll be fancy fencer too. He got to say three names. I'll say three names: Karen, Aika, and Dre. Because I feel like Dimitri's would always be taken out before Aika. Aika is combustible enough where people might think they have a shot against her in jury if she doesn't win that final HOH. And Karen's not going anywhere for the long haul. Karen's going to be there till at least final five, final four, and she's shown that she can win an endurance challenge. So. Could be Karen.
Okay, that'd be exciting. How about Dimitri's? How come we're not talking about Dimitri's as a possible winner? I mean, if Aika is the person who takes all the bullets, that she could end up pissing off a bunch of vets, like Aneta, like, you know, if Cindy is pissed, Bruno and Kevin are like, could Dimitri's sit there and be the more likable part of that relationship?
I think he could, but I think he's going to need to win out in order to do so. I think something that we may have overlooked in this podcast is that Dimitri would have gone home if he didn't win this veto. This was a must-win veto for him. And the fact that he won it puts him back in a great spot again. But I think the dial is going to turn soon again, and he's going to be a target, and he's going to need to win out if he wants to make it anywhere near the end. And that's certainly a possibility. He seems very good at the competitions, and a lot of the other good competition players are going out. So I wouldn't say he's drawing dead, but I do think he's going to need a comp run.
Yeah. And I think he has done some good work, because after he was pulled off the block, he was able to go to Dylan and say, hey, not a big deal that you nominated me. I won't be coming after you next week. We can squash this now that I'm off the block. We can work together, or at least not go after each other. And so I like what he's trying to do, but I agree with Taryn. I feel like he's always going to go before Aika because people fear him so much. And even somebody in his own alliance like Dre somewhat illogically wants to target him. And I feel like there's a time and place for that, like 6 or 7, but not at 10.
Yeah. And an Aika win would just be so amazing on so many levels that, Brent, I mean, do we have to start talking about Aika? Like, if she was to pull this off as one of the greatest pieces of reality TV casting in the history of reality TV,
that's somebody. We're talking about Tony.
I had her number one on my list when nobody else did, is to come back on an All-Star season. I knew what Aika was. She was gold. And by the way, Aika told JP, I hate everybody else, but I love that Brent guy. So I'm just telling y'all that. Anyway,
even me?
Yeah, she's great.
Or just the LFC.
Possibly. I don't know. she's just amazing because she's like, that sounds very narcissistic, but she's like, she reminds me of myself because she's just like, she just kind of says whatever she wants and she doesn't have a filter. And she just like, she's kind of just like, take it or leave it. If you don't like it, get the hell out of here. Then, you know,
but
so I can respond
to her,
to that.
Taryn.
That's true. Stuff sticks to me.
Yes, I've heard.
You know, nothing has stuck to her yet. I think that she's playing very well. I think that things have stuck to her, but things have also gone her way because of the relationships that she's built with people. And again, we've talked about this thing where she's gone back and forth and that she genuinely believes it when she does it. And I think that's been a huge help to her, where normally that might not work. I think it did, with especially with the relationship she had with Netta. And I think that was a huge boon to her game. Now that she doesn't have that, I was worried. I was saying, is Aika going to be able to continue this? She almost lost Dimitri this week, but she is doing good work, especially through Dimitri. Dimitri's patching up things with Dylan. She's patching up things with people like Jackie. And so I do think that now that Netta is out of the game, and Kevin and Bruno, who are really the only two people who can match her in terms of experience and strategic ability, they are completely on the outs. She can basically run this house from this point on. All she needs to do is, not lose a competition to Bruno and Kevin.
Right. And for these other players, I mean, could you imagine putting Aika on the block? Even if you're going to backdoor her, I mean, do you want to live? Like, you'd have to get her out. I talked about Aika was a great target in the double eviction, because if you're going to get her out, I mean, she's going to go down swinging. She's going to take people out with her. I mean, she'll make what Netta did look like that was nothing. I mean, could you imagine just Aika just going after you for days on end, Brent?
It's not something I would wish on my worst enemy, unless their name is Taryn Armstrong. So, I don't know. I think we always say that, but then, you know, combustible people do go out of the house. So I have worried a little bit because, Kevin is at least aware that Aika is in a really good position. So there is at least an outside chance that they would actually go after Aika rather than Dimitri's. Maybe Bruno and Kevin say to themselves, look, Let's get Ike out of the house. And then Dimitri's, you know, would be willing to work with us. He was part of our six originally. We like him. He's a nice guy. Let's get Ike out. So, you know, even though I think Dimitri's is in more danger, Ike still could go out of the house here. If
he
either
would be too scared to work with the people that got Ike out.
Well, it's funny you say this, Brent, because I'm reading the updates right now. And Kevin and Bruno are literally, as we speak, talking about, wow, I cannot believe how great Aika is at Big Brother. She is fantastic. She's so good at this game. She's the best player in this game right now. If she makes it to the end, we're voting for her. But we have to take her down. We have to do it. We have to win and take her down. So I think they might take a shot at Aika first.
Because what's happening is Dre has let it be known that she was willing to vote out Dimitri. So now they're like, well, she's not that close to Dimitri. She's close to Aika. Look at all these people that Aika has. Now all of a sudden it's not about Dimitri. It's about Aika. So Bruno and Kevin feel like, well, if we get rid of Aika, you know, Dre isn't necessarily with him because she's willing to vote against him right now.
Those two guys can put their heads together and try to get Aika out of the house. When she catches wind of that, she's like, Bruno, Kevin, what are you doing? You're trying to get me out of the house? Like, no, 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 we were just talking. It was nothing.
Not good.
This is not good. We'll take it back.
She already thinks that they're going after her.
Yeah, she does.
So, yeah.
You saw in the episode, she's like, Bruno is a liar.
All right, let's do more questions.
Bruno's saying to Kevin right now, if we can take out Aika, maybe you can pull Dre and William.
Okay. See?
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it. Merlin Meridian Mary wants to say, can we talk about the moment when Karen's obsession with that Kevin Martin made the edit? Is that a preparation for the final two? Please. Could we end up seeing, what would be better, to have a Karen and Kevin in the final two, or to have Kevin in the final two and Karen on the jury?
I think it would probably be more fun to have Kevin and Karen in the final two, because we think of them as an old married couple together. Although I don't know any scenario that could happen. I mean, I guess if, you know, Kevin got to the end with Karen and somebody else he feared more, but she's a viable jury threat. So I don't think Kevin would want to take
but
her.
Kevin
to the end.
Doesn't come after her, right? He'd be like,
oh yeah, he would.
He would trash her in the final two.
I mean, I feel like he would. I mean, he's. Well, I don't know if he'd trash her, but he'd be willing to state his game and why he's better than Karen.
I can just picture it now, like Karen just like, you're really going to vote for the Kevin Martin? He's like Jeffrey Dahmer. You're not going to give him $100,000.
Forgot about Jeffrey Dahmer. Yeah, exactly. That's what she calls him.
I feel like he'd be trying to get it like, okay, so here's what I did in this game. Shut up. Nobody wants to hear it, Kevin. Nobody wants to hear one word out of you right now. We're sick of you. We're sick of everything you've done. Shut up. But I've just been trying. No. We've had it.
Oh my God.
We've had it with you.
I need this to happen.
Okay. DeMica 2017, with everyone working to keep Aika safe this week, is she in the best position in the game after the secret deal with Jackie? Feels like it, right?
I would say yes, she's in the best position. Can she maintain it? I'm not sure. I would say William is in a very good position as well. But obviously not a controlling one. She's in the best, like, driver's seat position.
Yeah,
for sure.
I just feel like that in, like, the win curve of Big Brother, I feel like the person who's, like, in the best spot at this point in the game is probably usually not the winner. I feel like that we're at the point in Big Brother 18 where I'm getting questions like, okay, is Paulie Calafiore one of the top 10 Big Brother players of all time?
That was a question on one of these podcasts. I remember that.
It was.
Absolutely. Of course
look,
I am.
But I will say this, though, that, you know, you have to play the game that best suits you. You can't be somebody else in the Big Brother house. And this is the game that Aika has to play. She has to be in front. She has to be in the driver's seat. I don't feel like she can play something where she's following somebody else's bidding, because then she just gets too much of an attitude.
But could you imagine if Aika is, like, running the show and that's when Netta comes back into the house? I mean, would it stop for a week? I mean, the whole house would be, you got Aika and Netta over here, Kevin and Karen going off over here.
I will say this, though, that in her interview, you know, she did not give any credit to Cindy. She, basically, it read to me that she would be willing to vote for Aika in a final two. So I don't think she hates Aika at this point. And I think by then, Aika might be have other people that she hates. And remember, they were friends coming into to the Big Brother house. So they could find a way to work together again.
Forgives a grudge very easily.
Netta goes back into that house. It's World War III. Like there's no solving that.
I mean,
one.
They tell you you're trash. You're ugly on the inside. There's no coming back from this.
In her exit interview with another outlet, she said that, you know, this is how it is with Aika, but in the house, it's more magnified. And with Aika, she'll get mad at me and then we won't talk for a month and a half. And then, you know, I'll finally text her and say, you know, like, are we mad at each other? And she's like, oh, I was mad at you for something, but now we're fine. Like, I mean, Aika's willing. She's like me again. She's willing to, like, get mad at people. But then, like, 2 days later, she's totally over it. And she's able to compartmentalize that anger, put it on a shelf until she needs it again.
Okay.
That's all well and good.
New wrap up. Drinking game. Every time Brent says that Aika is like me, you have to take a shot.
It just came up today. Come on.
And I'm telling you, Taryn, if she wins the game, don't think it's going to stop when we get to Big Brother 19.
Brent basically won. He's going to talk. I won Big Brother Canada 5.
Do you remember when I got Cindy to put Netta up on the block during the double eviction?
What a zombie by me.
All right. John Heddle says, how come Dylan talked about targeting people who are manipulating him in his diary room when he didn't nominate Bruno, Kevin, or Aika? Okay. Why is Dylan talking about targeting people manipulating him in his diary room?
Because it's Dylan.
Yeah, I think he's just, look, I mean, I'll answer it seriously. I mean, he is trying to tell, basically, he doesn't want to look like a fool. He figured out that Bruno and Kevin are using him, and he wants to let Canada know that, look, I know there are people who are using me, who have been manipulating me, but it's his deal. He made a deal with them, and he's going to keep to his word, and he's not going to put them on the block. It's so funny. I'm sure Cindy's going to walk out of the house like, how did this happen? Part of it is her fault. She should have never won that HOH. She should have never nominated Ned. On the other hand, if this deal doesn't happen and the HOH competition just plays out like it was supposed to, I don't really think she would have ever gone home here.
Okay.
And to be fair to Dylan, everyone is using him. So, like,
that's true.
He's technically right.
Okay. Let's do one last question. BB President, if Cindy goes this week and with an unreliable Jackie floating, what are Bruno and Kevin's paths to final two short of a competition streak? So who has the better chance to get to the final two? Kevin?
Probably, unless your name is Karen. Yeah, I would say Kevin. Yeah, because everybody feels like, first of all, there are people in the house that currently want Bruno out. Aika, Dre, they want Bruno out. Dre, obviously, Taryn said, was trying to backdoor him earlier. They feel like Bruno is a little shifty. We've talked about how he's shifty on this podcast. He doesn't really, you know, he's not able to talk with people, and he denies things that are totally factually true. Like, you know, the sides of the house thing and the fact that him and Cindy and Kevin are a trio. People said, you know, Karen said, it was so funny watching Bruno talking with Karen, because Karen just says it like it is. She's like, you know, she has no filter either. So when she says, you know, to Bruno that, you know, I want to get Cindy on the block because I'm scared of her and you and Kevin, Bruno's like, well, we're not a trio. We're not working together. We're not in an alliance, which is totally not true. And Karen knows it's not true. Like, he tells these lies that are unbelievable. He has to know when to cut bait on his lies and just fess up.
Okay, let's update the power rankings of greatest Big Brother player of all time. So number one is now Aika.
Are we talking about the house?
So let's talk about only Big Brother Canada.
Only Big Brother Canada.
Okay.
All time.
Aika is number one. Who's number
Aika
two?
Aika is
now?
Number one. Everybody not name Aika. I think Taryn would probably say Mitch, but I'm not putting somebody who was like the 10th place on my best.
We're trying to get him to come to Toronto. Bro.
I love you, Mitch. You're very cute, but you're not on my list. Sorry. And I think Netta. I will say this too. Look, somebody tweeted this to me. I really think maybe I underestimated how good John Party is at this game, based on what I saw from Netta.
John Party is
so
up
I
now.
Had him. I had him number 9 on my list.
That's
and
like when Stephen Fishback, people say he's better when JT does bad.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely an analogy there. I don't think he's number 2, but he's definitely higher than number 9.
Okay. All right, I mean, Bruno, Kevin, Netta, like all these returning vets, Cass, Gary, they are all dropped. Their stock is going down.
Godfrey pointed out.
Godfrey's up to what, number 2 or 3?
Godfrey pointed out that all of the people coming back besides Ika have done worse than they did on their previous season so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Godfrey's Twitter game is on point. Yeah. He's not playing the game right now, but he's playing the Twitter game.
Yeah, he did say that he was going to see Cindy next week when she got into the house. He did. He was off on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was still funny when he tweeted
it. Funny. Okay. All right. This was very fun to catch up with you guys about everything going on. Let's do just like a check-in. Big Brother Canada 5 still lit, Brent?
Still lit, definitely. I love everything about Big Brother Canada. I just wish they had the feeds on more, or at least tell us, oh, by the way, the feeds are going to be off today. Come back tomorrow. And then I wouldn't sit in front of my computer waiting for them to come on.
Yeah. Okay. Taryn?
That's probably more me screaming into my microphone, though.
Yes.
I mean, like, I'm very happy with how the season is going, even though, you know, all of the vets that I was looking forward to seeing play are going out one by one. I'm still excited about the what's happening in the house and the fact that there have been less twists. We'll see what this upcoming twist does to the game, but I'm very happy with it.
Could we hit a lull, though, where we get to the point where I'm trying to think of, so if Cindy went out this week and then if Bruno and Kevin went back, when it's just Ika and all the new players, is that going to get boring or that's going to be exciting because then somebody will come back in from the jury?
I mean, I feel like we're a little bit in danger because, Cindy's going to go out. Now we're down to three vets. And then I feel like no matter who wins, it's either going to be Bruno and Kevin or it's going to be Ika. If Bruno and Kevin win, it's going to be Ika and somebody. So I feel like that another vet is going to go out next week, no matter what happens, unless they win the veto. So I'm nervous.
Okay.
I think the dynamics are fluid enough and chaotic enough, at least right now, that we're probably going to see interesting gameplay.
That's true.
Down for a little while at the very
least. Yeah. I know. I'm just terrified that we could end up with some sort of like Karen, William, Dre, Dylan, Jackie, Final Five.
I mean, that's certainly possible, but I don't think that's the worst
hashtag
thing in the world.
Darkest timeline. Yeah.
I think there's still interesting feeds happening if that's the case.
Okay. All right. So we got a lot of options for the hashtag tonight between Do You Boo Boo, Not Good, and Cindy Sit. Brent,
I feel like it has to be not good. I mean, we said that at least 20 times on this podcast.
All right, good. That's the new catchphrase for Bruno and Kevin. I'll see if I can pull the clip for the next podcast that we do. All right, so Taryn, what's coming up later on this week? Jordan is going to be back on Wednesday.
Yeah, Jordan will be on Wednesday
special
with
time.
Melissa and Alex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we don't even know what time. I'm not even sure. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a two-hour Survivor episode coming up on Wednesday night.
She said check your local listing, so I don't know if it really will be like right after Survivor or if it will be like in the middle of the night or something. I don't know.
I think for somebody it's going to be playing at 10 o'clock.
Okay, well then good. Sounds good.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
And then I believe it's Melissa and I with Jordan on Thursday night.
Okay. Okay, well, check that out. Jordan will be live on Wednesday and Thursday following the episode, and then I will have another exit interview coming up on Friday. If you missed my exit interview, again, with Netta and Emily, that's also up in our wrap-ups feed and also in our Big Brother podcast feed. And don't miss the new smash hit show, LFC Roundtable, coming up on Sundays. Yeah. It's very fun. I hear people are saying that they love getting the regular doses of the LFC again.
Yeah, best podcast ever. That's what I'm hearing.
Brent, have you heard that?
I have heard this. Yes, many people tweeted they like it unfiltered, where we can go straight into spoilers and I have to spend time on the useless episode.
I feel like we get to talk about absolutely everything that is happening and talk about it in a good amount of detail, and it's obviously a lot of fun because we're bickering back and forth and cracking jokes and stuff. Like it's really a ton of fun.
There was a lot of buzz, and it really was exciting getting to hear you guys catching up on the double eviction. It did feel like a lot of time from Thursday night and all that excitement until when we got to Sunday.
Yeah,
I know, right? Yeah, definitely. It's like the whole week happened, and then we decided to start podcasting about it. But that's the nature of the episodes on Big Brother Canada. Nothing we can do.
Yeah. All right. Well, great stuff. So thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes tonight, making all this happen. I'm about to drop on the main feed. Got a double feature for you. AJ Mass stopped by the podcast today to talk about the 13 archetypes of Survivor Game Changers, and then we have David Bloomberg talking about why the latest Survivor contestant loss, and it's not what you think. It's not what you think. Oh. It's that we're not going to talk about what you're thinking about. We're going to talk about what happened in the first 17 days of the game, getting to that point. All right. So lots of stuff to check out. Check it all out. RobHasAWebsite.com. And again, come see us out in Toronto. Go to RobHasAWebsite.com/Toronto BB Can. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.